Welcome to the David Bowie's Ghost podcast. My name is Jen.
And I'm Daniel. And on this podcast, we explore the mystical realms of channeling through Jen and I's experiences communing with the other side.
As well as our shared love of music, art, and the sacred connection between creativity and healing.
If you like what you hear, please join our community on Patreon to gain access to the various offerings we are guided to share.
We invite you to be our companions on this ride as we embrace our own strange design.
Hi, Jen.
Hi, Daniel. How are you?
I'm doing well. We are both in different places than we were during our last recording. Yes. You are back in San Diego where you're staying temporarily. I am back east visiting family, currently in my childhood bedroom. So our travel adventures continue. And we haven't really spoken that much for a couple of days, for a little while we've been each having our own adventures. And so we will see what is meant to unfold in this episode, in this present time, in this coming together of our minds and individual guidance systems. And I know you've been having some recent experiences, not all of which you are guided to speak to, but some of which we might process. So I'll turn it over to you and see where we may be meant to go.
Thank you. Yeah, we haven't spoken in almost a week, which is long for us. I've done a bit of traveling in the last week. And yeah, I think there are some things that are meant to be shared right away and some that are not. And
maybe we can start with just what that process has been like for you, because I know that's been a little wild, just like having experiences, some of which you're guided to share, some of which you are guided to keep in, and what that process feels like, if it feels like secretive, if it feels exciting, like just what that's like.
Yeah, I mean, I think some of the things that I've been going through, I just will know that they're meant to be kept. And I know there's a reason, and there's like divine timing for everything, and timing for things to really be announced and things that are in progress. And I know they're going to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and eventually they'll make a little bit more sense. And then I'll know when it's time to sort of reveal that. And yeah, it definitely feels like a secret. But not because I want to keep them. It's because I know I'm not supposed to share them yet. And it's also exciting. There are a lot of very exciting things happening. And
yeah, and I think that that's another layer of what I would call the intuitive process. Because at first, I think for you, I mean, you can speak to this, but you're just getting information. You're just getting information and kind of, you didn't have that many people to share it with, but the people you could share it with, you would just share it. Mm-hmm. And it was very similar with me too. And some of those people were my family, and that didn't always go great. And then I think another layer of the intuitive process is like recognizing like that you can ask, like, is it in highest alignment for this to be shared at all or now, or I think it adds this layer of discernment in terms of like, what is for me, what is for others, what is for the person in front of me, what is meant to be brought into this conversation. I mean, at first it's just so overwhelming. You just want someone to unload it to. And then I think as the mind's capacity expands to sort of receive, and the brain upgrades to sort of translate this information in a safe way where it doesn't feel like you're panicking all the time getting these downloads, mm-hmm. your reservoir of storage grows to just trust that you know, when it's, when you're in front of the person that it, certain things are meant to be shared with, you will share it. And if not, it's okay. Does that resonate with you as how it's?
I think so. I think, yeah, there are just some things you're supposed to keep to yourself for a little bit. Because I think, and I think I just said this, but I think we're just like still processing. And I think I'm supposed to start with like talking about things that are a little bit smaller. Like we were talking about how we know we're on our right path and how we know we're being guided. And something that I was seeing a lot this week is I was seeing a lot of numbers. I'm always seeing a lot of numbers, but a number that I say it's my number. It's not my number, but it's 22 is the number that I see often when my guides are directing me, like, this is, you're going the right direction. And I was driving with some friends, and I knew that this adventure that I was on, I was 100% going in the right direction, because there were like billboards with phone numbers, and the phone numbers were literally like all twos. Like I thought it was a joke, and it was like exit 22. And there was a license plate with the number 22. I was, you know, overwhelmed because I knew, and excited because I knew that I was definitely 100% on my right path. And, you know, when you are, following and listening to your intuition, it's almost like you're laughing with your spirit guides. You're like kind of like giggling with them, like, oh my God, this is it. Like this is all I've had to do the entire time. And I almost feel like they're sort of like this magnet around me. And when I'm going almost in the wrong direction, I almost feel like they're kind of zapping me a little bit. And so that's a new feeling, this sort of magnetic field that I like feel around me. It's sort of like a protective orb. And I think we all have them, but it's about maybe recognizing them and then actually being on your path. And then they can sort of help guide you even further if you're maybe going in the wrong direction. They're pulling you the other way. So that was a new feeling this week.
Yeah. And there's a few different ways I might interpret that. You know, one is really just sort of what many would call the auric field, you know, extending out from the chakra system, the energetic body. There are layers to the auric field that extend out maybe like 3 feet in all directions. And so that we are this, we have, you know, our system, you know, is extends out from the human body. And the other way I would talk about it is that, you know, I've often referred to the cultivation of that intuitive compass. You know, we've often, many of us have lots of conditioning in the mind that is the highest authority we listen to, that thinking voice, often fear-based, the majority of it, often internalized from other authorities, family members, systems we've grown up in. And that tends to lead the way, tends to lead our decision-making, often rooted in core limiting beliefs about ourselves. And this is a different way of starting to show up and be led in connection with higher guidance, in connection with the heart space, how it feels. Now, it doesn't always feel, this is where I think the difference in like moving through fear and recognizing when there's actually a threat, because sometimes it can feel unsettling. It can certainly feel uncertain in the nervous system, maybe like, what the hell are you doing? But that's when the signs and synchronicities show up to remind you that you're safe, that you are aligned. You know, it was very similar for me. I see lots of numbers, but in the beginning, when I first left Chicago on this huge adventure, and even before that, when I left my clinic, I was seeing so many numbers that it was comical. Like you had to laugh. Like it was absurd how many numbers I was being shown. I would often be shown, and still to this day, I'm shown the number 38 and the number 338, which is the time of my mother's birth. And we've often talked about that as kind of like this initiation, kind of like it's a time of death and rebirth. I can't speak to all the details as to why I'm shown specifically her time of birth, but it just continues to show up, and it tends to reference, yeah, like especially, particularly when the circumstances don't appear like everything is going smoothly, like especially when I can't really see necessarily where I'm going or what's coming up, like this time right now, I don't have all the details as to where I'm going. And it tends to be particularly in those moments where spirit is like, you know, you're reminded, you're aligned. And that's kind of how I see it, as like a sign from the higher mind, the higher self, your guides, to the physical mind, to the thinking mind, like, hey, remember mm-hmm. things are going well, even if you can't see it yet.
Sure.
And I'll just say, yeah. And so that feels like the cultivation of this compass.
Mm-hmm. I've also been feeling lately, like I'm almost, I don't know if you ever had this feeling before, like I'm almost a machine, and I feel like somebody is like sending stories down to me from above, like maybe things that have happened before or that were almost like planned. I'm not sure if we've already talked about this or not, but I feel like so much of life is like planned out, and stories are sort of like planted, and we're just here sort of like collecting the breadcrumbs and trying to find our way. I don't know if that makes sense, but I feel like some of the information that I'm getting is so far above me, and I'm not confused where it's coming from, right? It's coming from source, but I can visually see it and where it's coming from. And it's sort of like this, not a literal eye, but I'm calling it an eye. And it's like this triangle that's above us and everything that's below, and everything is being fed from up there.
And that
did that make sense?
Yeah, no, that frame does resonate with me, actually. Okay. Like, you know, I use the word vessel a lot. It's the name of my podcast, the name of lots of things, because as I started recognizing this path of releasing attachment to the thinking mind, you know, it's like, okay, we're opening then to a different source of wisdom, mm-hmm. of intelligence. Therefore, we are becoming like the vessel for the flow of this information. And if you, from that frame, it's kind of like, yeah, forget if we like leave out the spiritual stories for a second or the connection to the other realm, we're all still playing out stories. We're attributing them to different things, to our mind, you know, our mind's projection of the stories, which I think is still always playing a role, even as the brain is interpreting and receiving messages from spirit. Our mind is still perceiving them and projecting those stories out based on our own conditioning and whatever, but without any connection to spirituality, we're still just, in some way, we could use that word machine, we're still just human machines walking around projecting these stories based on belief systems that come associated with emotion, energies, thoughts, and then we act on these stories. And so we play out our personal realities. So in some way, I do see us walking around as like meaning-making machines based upon belief systems. Now, as we start to expand, you know, I would just use that word expand to welcome in other forms of guidance, the stories can change and can become more expansive. And that's certainly something I'm a proponent of, is gaining more possibilities. But it can still happen in the spirit realm where suddenly some of the stories feel more fear-based or more constricted. And that's where we can still use our, because I sense that I am told, mm-hmm. that free will is still very much in place, and less is, because some people, I sense hold this a bit more of a deterministic view, like there's the Akashic records and all is known that will ever happen. And maybe on some level, but my guidance is that, you know, is to remember that you absolutely have free will, that you are still a creator and the universe is expanding through you. So, you know, and so from that perspective, you know, we can still be discerning as to what we hear, the stories we hear, sort of how the stories resonate, even if they're coming from above, whatever. And but it, as we were kind of talking about in the last episode, like higher mind versus thinking mind, whatever, we can become a spirit guided machine.
That's great.
Yeah, rather than a trauma guided machine, which is what most of us are. We're machines guided by our own trauma conditioning, mm-hmm. Just trying to get safe, or just trying to be quote unquote successful, or just trying to you know, be rewarded or famous or whatever. You know, we can be a machine guided by a higher story, a higher authority, a story that we don't know all the details of and that we're not meant to. And that can change, can be flexible as our brain and mind expands to translate the information. Mm-hmm. But it's like we're a machine capable of receiving and translating a higher guidance, and our machines are upgrading to reassign the job of our minds to go with the flow rather than needing mm-hmm. to figure it all out.
Yeah. And I also think that we can choose our story based on the direction that we're looking. So we can either be looking up or we can be looking down.
100%. And it can happen. It can happen with any content. Because there can be, I think the way I've talked about it before is there can be a light side and a shadow side to any story. Like one example is like AI, right? So some people are absolutely in panic and fear about the evolution of AI. Other people are super excited and like, look at all the opportunities. Mm-hmm. I don't feel the need to like choose a side. That's not how I see my sort of positioning. But that's sort of one example of where any source of content can have a depending on the perspective, right? You look at it from a high place or a low place, if we want to use that sort of metaphor. But yeah.
So, I mean, I think it's basically, you know, either yes or positive, negative, right? Would that be another way you would?
For sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Good, evil. You know, we have all this like human language. A lot of it is based in morality. I think another, you know, we talk about this a lot because some of your language in the beginning, you know, and maybe still was
offensive to Daniel.
It was not offensive to me, but I did get, absolutely 100% did get triggered by some of the language.
You're triggered.
It was definitely triggered, but it was a good invitation for me to grow, you know, based in heaven and hell language, to be specific. And you
which
know,
I'm still okay with.
Yeah, 100%. And to be honest, I'm okay with it too. And actually, I'll say something about that.
And I think it's also, we've also sort of redefined what that is.
Yeah. And look, it's just, I think, again, it's a translation system. It doesn't have to mean inherently one thing. And so where I was going with that is some people will also speak to like, they'll use the language of like demonic entities or like satanic. Like, to be honest, that language does not resonate with me. I don't feel guided to go around like being fearful of like demonic or evil spirits. I think another way of framing it that utilizes a bit more of neutrality and resonates with me is that it's just in terms of vibrational frequency, because we're sort of anthropomorphizing these things a bit, kind of like, you anthropomorphize your dog, like you give your dog a name and then you ascribe a personality to them and you think you understand the complex, but you don't necessarily know what their experience mm-hmm. is. You don't know if they're really having right. depth of the mm-hmm. experience that you're ascribing to them. So we people have a way of ascribing like really malicious tendencies to, like, I believe I sense those, you know, other entities exist, but to say that they are how to get you versus maybe just being attracted to your low frequency, to the shame in your body, to the trauma in your body, to whatever. Like, it's usually paralleling a circumstance in your life, you know, a condition in your mind and body that is vibrating very low, to say that, yeah, they are, to ascribe them the identity of evil is, it's a choice. I'm not saying it's wrong, because if it's true for you, it's true.
Sure.
You create a reality, but it's just to paint that picture of, and, you know, again, with like, so to come back to heaven and hell, one thing I was, you know, I listened to this person, Matthias De Stefano. Some people may be familiar with him. He remembers all his past lives from the time of Atlantis. He's very cool. He's a very, he has a very neutral, egoless energy. When I listen to him, it's very easy for me to listen to him. And I do trust a lot of his information. And what he would say, he would use that language, but he would say, they're not places you go, they're states of being. So we can be in hell on earth because it's our mind's projection of hell. So in your mind, if you're in hell, that's where you are. And when you leave the physical body, you still exist in states of mind. So the state of the hell in your mind gets projected out into your experience and becomes the totality of your experience. So if your mind was conditioned for hell to be satanic with pitchforks and whatever, that's the version of hell you'll see. If your version of heaven was conditioned to be filled with like puffy white clouds and angels and wings or whatever, that's the version you'll see. So that's his way of paralleling heaven and hell language to states of being and states of mind. I'm not saying that that's exactly how I see it, but it resonates with me in terms of how we can play with what we mean by places, states, frequencies,
mm-hmm.
etc.
Just to kind of continue on the heaven and hell language, talking now about just literally how we speak. I mean, I think depending on the language we choose to use when we're speaking to each other or even talking to ourselves, that kind of places us within that sort of vibration too. So if we were to say, and this is something that I've started to learn from you, how to speak more positively and use words that are a little bit more positive, that brings us up as well, right? We're vibrating at a higher level versus a lower level, just by choosing our words, maybe a little bit more carefully about, again, how we talk to ourselves, how we talk to others. So just sort of correcting maybe our own language and being a little bit kinder in general. Creating more of a heaven on earth experience just through conversation.
100%, because that's the thing. We are creators. We create our reality, and words matter. Not in the sense that we need to be so fearful, you know, because we're also speaking our truth, right? So there's this dance of like expressing and being creative. But yeah, you know, watching and noticing, and it's a huge part of Western therapy. It's a huge part of all therapeutic modalities. It's like, can you listen to yourself? Have you listened to how you just berated yourself for 20 minutes about showing up late to this meeting, whatever, you know? It's like, that matters, because if we just think about words as an energetic source of manifestation, we are breathing things into existence. We are bringing things from mm-hmm. the formless into form. And so that we could extend that out to the universe and to the spirit realm, that like, even after this life, we are still manifestors, we are still creators, and we can even create in a way where we go, not necessarily always like consciously, but based on sort of the conscious and unconscious containments of our contents of our mind, you know, that is going to be projected out. I have heard this, that, you know, to be, and we've talked about this before, but to be on planet Earth, to be a human being, means that you are a creator. Yeah, not everyone is. Not everyone in the spirit realm is. That other entities, beings are maybe just meant to be supporters, meant to support. But if you get incarnated on Earth, you are creator, and people may not think they're artistic, but they are creating their reality in every moment with their thoughts and their words and et cetera. And I think it can get a little bit obsessive where people are like, look, there's a light and a shadow side to everything, right? So mm-hmm. can become obsessive and compulsive and be like, I can't have any negative. Like, it's not about control. It's more about awareness. And that's certainly something that has been reflected back to me. I was a very self-punishing person. My thinking was very negative. And some people will believe that you can't change that, but you can. It can, not through force, but just through recognition and awareness.
Yeah. And that makes me think about just lightness in general. The lighter we are, the kinder we are to ourselves, like the lighter we are. And, you know, we feel more of these vibrations and we feel better. And I feel like our mission, but there is some sort of mission, right? And it's really to lift each other up. You know, maybe we lift each other up enough that Earth gets up to heaven and, you know, we're walking in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah. You know, create in the design that you want, you know, be the change you want to see, right? Create in the design that you want. And, you know, it's a positive feedback loop, because as you feel the lightness, as you feel the way you want, you speak the way you want. And as you speak the way you want, you feel the way you want. So you are constantly training in this loop. Your brain and your nervous system and your vision in alignment mm-hmm. with a higher vision, even before you can see it in your circumstances, which helps you let go of expectations. That's the difference between manifestation and expectations, is speaking it, feeling it into existence without an attachment to it coming true, because that's when we get disappointed in the timeline and blah, blah, blah. And so it's the exact other side of the coin of speaking negatively, feeling negatively, speaking negatively, feeling negatively. You know, that's how we speak ourselves and feel ourselves into sickness and stay stuck, etc.
I have this new visual of having, and I keep saying, look up, but that's just this message I've been getting, like, look up, like keep looking up, keep reaching, yeah, keep reaching for the stars, whatever it is. But I have this visual of love being above us, right? And that's what we're constantly reaching for. That's what we're constantly looking up to. And that's what we're trying to reach, because at the end, everything comes down to love. And, you know, when people use the word God or whatever they use, I think, and I've said this before, and this is very much how I believe, you know, God is love. So, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, a person sitting in the sky. It's love, right? That's the energy force that we go back to. So continue to look up, continue to try to feel this lightness, right? And this lightness in your heart.
Yeah. And I'll say something about that, because I'm always interested in sort of how we play with language, and I hear different frames. So like, look up on one level can mean like, look to the skies, look to the quote unquote, yes. Look to the quote unquote heavens, look to the stars, look to the sun, look to the energy sources of the universe, the planets, et cetera. There's so much there. And then, you know, we can also see in the yogic traditions, in the meditation practices, looking up in terms of literally rolling your eyes up, which is a popular form of energetic practice when you're tuning in, which many will say activates the pineal gland and sort of the higher chakras, right? So the crown is up, right? Is technically higher.
Right.
So there are sort of parallels in the physiological system, in the energetic system, in accessing higher, quote unquote, higher states of consciousness that exist within, because another way of seeing it is that the universe is within as much as it is without. So looking up within the self parallels looking up outside the self.
Well, now I feel silly. I think I was doing it wrong. My neck was hurting. So I was hearing look up and I was like this.
Well, but I think it works both ways. And actually.
No, but you're, I think you're absolutely right, because there was another time where I looked up and that's just what my eyes naturally did. They just started to like roll up. And I was like, wow, this, I actually feel like we were moving up. Like this whole space that I was in was moving up and lifting.
And when I channel, my eyes roll up. That's just what starts, right, yeah, starting, yeah, to happen to me.
Yeah.
So interesting. But also, you know, there's so many parallels and synchronicities. Like, you know, I talk about Bashar a lot, and part of his messaging was keep your eyes on the skies, like, because there's, right, more happening in the skies. That there's going to be more happening, which is obviously a different conversation. But yeah, so all of that.
I mean, yeah. Well, but that's the whole thing, right? I think you can either go up or you can go down, right? Light, heavy, dark, light, whatever.
And there's want. And to sort of parallel the, you know, more neuroscientific perspective, you know, there's so much that people speak to in terms of posture, like keep your head up, keep your head high. There's so mm-hmm. much research that supports that standing tall and looking up actually, you know, has a positive effect on the brain and on feelings of confidence and self-worth versus hanging your head down, looking down, sure, at the ground, staring at your feet. It's not to say that, you know, I think there's tons of positive messaging about, you know, also, you know, being attentive to the earth too and the ground, and that's where you find, you know, magic money on the ground or whatever. But that phrase, someone gave that phrase to me, magic money, that whenever you find like a penny or something on the ground, it's magic money, it's divinely guided. Anyway, so there's, you know, but it is interesting to parallel, you know, that the framework of looking up, looking down.
And yeah. And the, what was I going to say? Oh, the, other message I was getting recently, at shows was to keep my eyes open and let in the light. Cause I used to always have, or a lot of the time I have my eyes closed at different shows. And the message was a very clear, keep your eyes opened.
That's interesting. Yeah. Cause we touched upon that a little bit last time, which is, you know, choosing, like sort of choosing your own adventure. Like, do I go, yes, more inward here? Do I stay open and engage with, you know, the people around me and the lights and everything?
I believe you can engage, interact better with these, you know, higher sources when your eyes are open and when you're letting the light in and you're not focusing on the darkness. It's an opportunity to open up and receive. And the message was very clear. And after I started opening up my eyes, they just like wanted to stay open. Thank God I had sunglasses on. But yeah, it's a very, very clear message now that, and we talked about it last week, you're right, that I was getting these messages of, you know, Trey saying, look up and look up at this, you know, ball of light that's above you. And my eyes kept shutting. But these last few shows that I went to, they were open. And then sometimes my head would just like jolt up. Like I don't even feel like I was doing it. And I was just being connected to this, you know, love source that was above me and sort of directing me.
And so would you like to speak more to that experience, or is that something you would like to keep within?
I'm not really sure. Oh, we'll give it a try. You know, we talked about channeling, and I guess this is a form of channeling. I mean, except that I'm not necessarily channeling like one person, right? I'm more going to this direct source that's sort of like almost funneling information down through me. Mm-hmm. And it feels like I'm almost like attached to it. And that's this like machine part that I feel like I'm attached to. That I'm hooked up to a machine catapult
yeah,
that we used last time.
Well, and I think for you, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but your intuition, you know, was opening and you were receiving messaging from one specific soul, one source of information. And, you know, and I've often said, that's not how I tended to receive information. Actually, you know, I received information from like entities, but a lot of the times it just feels like a source. Sometimes it'll feel more like my higher mind, my higher self. But, mm-hmm. but at some level, you know, we could say it's all coming from source, you know, even if it comes through other entities, other people who have crossed over, other human beings, it's all mm-hmm. coming from all machines are hooked up to the same source. And there may be more direct access ways than others.
Well, but I think there's like higher source and there's this lower source that you can connect to. Right. I mean, I think that's what it is. Like you have two options.
Why don't you say more about that? What you mean by that?
Well, it sort of goes in line with everything we've been talking about. You can connect to dark or you can connect to light. I don't know if we want to say good or evil. I don't know what to say about.
Okay, so here's what I would say to
maybe
that.
You weren't gonna like that.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I can fit that in. I would say consider, see if this resonates.
Okay.
All is source. There is only one. And so even the darkness is a part of the one. It's a part of the source. It's a reflection of the shadow side. And yet that is still even, let's use some people's like, you know, more fundamentalist religious language, like even Satan is a part of God because God right. is everything. God is all encompassing. There is nothing outside of God. There is nothing outside of consciousness or source energy. So even mm-hmm. the shadow side is part of source.
Right. No, I definitely, that does resonate with me. It does. It does. And I definitely understand that. So I know we're not talking. Well, actually, we won't talk about that. I think we're good on that for now.
Okay. Okay. So yeah, where do we go from here?
Where do we go from here? What kind of signs are you looking for right now?
I just sort of set my intention to stay open and ready for, you know, because spirit source can work through anything and anyone, right? So if I feel that if I set like my perspective on like, oh, I'm looking for a red sign and a blue sign, right? Maybe I'll miss the yellow and green signs, right? So I acknowledge that like my physical mind cannot know all the ways that spirit can show up for me. It's kind of one example is abundance, right? Like people are looking for signs of abundance. So they only look for what? Money. They only want to see money coming in. But, and actually Bashar would say this too, there are many different kinds of abundance. What if you mm-hmm. suddenly get supported by a friend or a family? Maybe that doesn't feel as good to your ego, but that's a form of support, right? Maybe, a friend allows you a place to stay, right? Or family, like abundance, synchronicities in themselves. I think this is actually one of Bashar's sort of types of abundance, like signs and synchronicities can be a form of abundance. So we can be open, we can open our minds to the ways spirit is trying to get our attention to support us. And so I really just try to stay open to all the ways that different circumstances may show up. And I continue to be surprised because, you know, the mind still likes to try to figure it out. Ooh, how am I going to be supported next? How is the opportunity going to show up? But you really never know. The universe has a way of surprising you. So I would say I stay open to awe and to being surprised.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I... And, you know, there are some classics. There are tons of numbers and things. And there are like forever for whoever has read The Celestine Prophecy. It's a beautiful book about energy and how source works through different people. And like, you never know what's going to come through. You could, you know, the classic example is like thinking that divine wisdom only comes through a guru, or a guy, you know, from India dressed in robes. And yet, you know, the homeless person who strikes up a conversation with you may have something for you. So, you know, can be your teacher, can be your guide. So just paying attention to what comes through different people's mouths, you know, what they're guided to say. You can say it's always ascribed to their thinking minds, but I would challenge you on that. Different things come out of people's mouths that they're not even aware of, they're not conscious of, and it may connect to something you were just reading about, or you just passed a book on that topic. And those, I love those kinds of synchronicities. That I was just saying, like, you know, we talk a lot about like opening this up to a video component, and because we feel guided that that's important. And I was just hearing some other person who was a friend of my mother's, just talking. Bringing that up, you know, that people want to see you. And I was like, oh yeah, Jen talks about that a lot too. And, you know, and Bill talks about that and whoever. So those kinds of overlapping synchronicities, I'm always interested in that kind of stuff. But yeah, I'd say I stay open.
Right. Yeah, no, that's a good answer. Cause I feel like I've had a lot of people ask me, like, what do you mean when you're talking about signs? And, you know, like, what exactly are you looking for? And
it reminds me of there was this funny picture. It's a literal sign, and it just says, this is the sign you've been looking for.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, so I think I understand where people are coming from when they ask, what do you mean by signs? What are you looking for? And I would respond that it's more about a feeling than it is a specific form, because the form, it can take any form as long as it sort of presences you to the feeling, the divine source. Maybe it presences you to look up. Like when I see a certain color, when I see the color blue, a lot of times, only in specific circumstances, like birds, bluebirds, you know, I know that typically that Archangel Michael and this other ascended master El Moria are connecting to me, and that I'm meant to. And I just know that through different ways. Like I had read about that, so that was out there, and then I felt it. And El Moria is an ascended master that I have channeled and have had a closer relationship with too, in terms of the channeling. So, and they're part of it. And this gets into the weeds on some spiritual language, but it's like, there are these different, people will say that colors along the color spectrum are connected to different, and it's like these rays that go up to like the seventh ray. I don't understand all the details of it. I just know how it feels. So when I have those associations, so it's the same thing. It can come in any form. It's about what it elicits in you.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. It's a feeling. But then there are also, I was thinking about this week, I had booked a flight to go somewhere and, quickly realized that I was going in the wrong direction. I was being led in the wrong direction. And so I canceled the flight and I got like a certain...
And how did you realize you were being led in the wrong direction?
Because I could feel it. I felt like something bad was not bad, but something, it was that feeling, that like feeling of like having this orb and this magnet, like,
yeah, nope. your compass was going off and saying,
yep, it's not right. So I went and I canceled the flight, and I got like a certain amount back. They took like a percentage, because I did the non-refundable. And I think I got back, I want to say it was like either like 189 or 229 back. And so then I went to look for another flight to go somewhere else I had been thinking about going. And that flight was the exact number that I got back. It was like the 229, and it was the same airline, and it was going to the other place that I was thinking about. And so I was like, oh, okay, that's it. And it turned out I was right. That was definitely the place I was supposed to go.
Yeah. Yeah. And the part that I will emphasize is the discernment, because people ask me this all the time, again, not necessarily connected to spirituality, you know, clients I work with in chronic pain will have the same kinds of questions. Like, how do you discern when it's that true compass and when it's conditioned fear that's meant to be worked through? And, you know, usually I will say, One way to sort of detect or to discern which is which, you know, which is the actual tiger and which is just the illusion of a tiger that you're actually meant to grow through, is usually if you can pinpoint an aspect of expansion, an aspect of excitement, a feeling within you that is like, this is really exciting, but it's also scary. You know, that's usually a good, you can have a good sense that you are meant, that you are being guided forth. You are meant to grow through the conditions of fear rather than like, listen to that fear and say, turn around now, turn around now. And then there can be other times where, I don't know, it can feel like just the whole body lighting up. That I might describe it as that like spiritual core, that intuitive core is just lighting. You know, for me, I hear things. So I might hear guides being like, no, no, no. Or I might, you know, just feel it. It is a little hard to talk about because we feel things in our nervous system too that we're meant to grow through. So you can still feel it in your gut, but it's kind of this cultivation of this knowing, and it's definitely messy. You can definitely confuse the two. You can confuse what is just fear that's meant to be grown through, and fear that is a real stop sign.
Mm-hmm. So, and now I'm thinking about, you know, how you will say, and I will say, you know, I hear these voices, you know, speaking to me, and just trying to describe that feeling, you know,
because because it is a feeling,
right? It's a feeling. And, but it's also, it's hearing
and feeling,
right? But it's not hearing through your ears.
No,
it's inside you. Yes. And, we've talked a little bit about, telepathic communication, and I even had this feeling of, well, I feel dumb describing it because I don't know a whole lot about it. Yet I know that I'm doing it and I'm communicating with other people. So I should feel like I have the right to say something about it.
You have the right.
Although I don't know how to be clear about it, because I feel like it's almost just, it's very similar. It's a very similar feeling. It's a hearing and feeling that's inside. So, you know, I've just decided to not really question it anymore. And that I really do believe we're all telepathic. I just don't think we know how to use or strengthen that muscle. And I think we will all be communicating telepathically eventually.
Yeah. So I'll say a couple of things about that. Firstly,
we're like cell phones, we're like iPhones, really. Like, I think, sorry, go ahead.
No, it's a good analogy. Firstly, I'll say, I think this project is meant for us to unfold things that are messy and we're not necessarily clear on. So, you know, that's the whole point. So it's okay.
Right, absolutely.
We don't know how to say it clearly. I mean, who the hell knows how to talk about all this stuff clearly? The next part is, I will reference a bit of Bashar's language because he has spoken to this. And I guess also just from my understanding, I'll agree with you and say, yes, just like we're all intuitive and have an intuitive connection to source, we all come from source. So wouldn't it make sense that our individual minds have the capacity to align and communicate? And it's likely what you say, which is that more of us are likely doing it than we're aware of, you know, when you have, when like, you know, and Bashar has an interesting way of saying it. He would say, telepathy is not necessarily reading someone else's mind. It's actually two individuals or more having the same thought at the same exact time, so that the information is coming to both people at the same time. And it may feel like reading, but it's actually information arising in both minds simultaneously. And I will say one more thing, which is that from my understanding of ET beings, most of those races are purely telepathic, to the point where they don't speak. They don't have a language. They only communicate telepathically, almost as a kind of hive mind, almost in the way, well, in more advanced than this, but kind of the way, you know, ants obviously don't communicate, but they all know what to do. ants know to line up, and just because they're kind of this hive organism. Mm-hmm. We, in some way, human beings are a hive organism. Now we have an expansion in, and we have self-awareness, and we have more individuality as creators. But growing through the mind, we can maybe then come back to accessing more of a collective intelligence. So those are just some thoughts all.
That actually makes so much sense to me when you said that it's two or however many individuals receiving information at the same time. That makes a whole lot of sense to me. So could you now explain what an ET being is?
Yeah. Okay. So when I reference ET being, I'm referring to what people would call an alien. So I'm referring to an extraterrestrial being, which, you know, for those who have journeyed down this rabbit hole, there are a few options, so to speak, about beings that have been to this planet and mm-hmm. beings that and races of beings that we will be making first contact with. Bashar has noted that the increase in UFOs and increased sort of events that are unfolding will continue to ramp up, and that by the end of 2026, early 2027, there will be an undeniable event that will convince the majority of our planet that ET beings are here, they're here to stay, and they're here to support us, and that the window of contact is opening at the beginning of 2024. So that's a whole topic to go down. Also, part of my channeling is connecting with beings who identify themselves in this way. There are a few different...
So human beings? Sorry, Daniel. So you're connecting with human beings that connect in this way, or beings that are elsewhere?
No, I'm connecting with sources that identify themselves as ET, as extraterrestrial, aka aliens. So if anyone has ever heard people talk about like alien encounters, usually what you will hear is a description of like humanoid figures, between 7 and 10 feet tall, grayish, mm-hmm. And acting in a sort of hive mind sort of way. Some people have seen them like connecting together and almost like a light emanating from them in a circle, which is sort of the telepathic communication. But those are commonly referred to as the grays, which is a one sort of race. Bashar describes himself as coming from this planet called Esani, I believe, which he, you know, he would state, you know, that the multiverse is real. So there are infinite. Jen, do you have a question? You're raising your hand.
I do. Well, I don't want to interrupt you, but I think we should also back up and say who Bashar is, because I don't even really know who he is.
I talk about him so much, but I never explain anything.
No, you never. Well, it's not that you never. I'm asking because I think we maybe need a little bit of clarification.
Yeah. So
he's not here. So he's not like a guy who's like writing a book somewhere. This is somebody that you're talking to somewhere else.
Daryl Anka is a human being, and the way I was guided to uncover channeling, this is how I feel like our circumstances parallel our inner experience and what we're meant to. I knew nothing about this, and I had virtually zero interest in this, including channeling. All I knew was that Eckhart Tolle had spoken about A Course in Miracles was channeled by a woman. Pretty much the only thing I knew. And I'd probably heard about Esther Hicks, but I was never guided to explore it. I didn't care that much. It wasn't part of my own spirituality. And then I was guided to Bashar, and immediately the information was resonating with me. And very quickly after that, I started having channeling experiences. And so just to reiterate, you know, channeling, as I see it, is a spectrum. You know, it can just be accessing higher states. It can be access, you know, higher brain states to access creativity, a divine source of connection, just like Jen is saying, having a direct connection to source, hearing from guides. But the way historically that word has been used is people who report feeling embodied by a source of information in the sense that it actually comes into their body, which is a very sort of explicit, like top end of the spectrum kind of experience. And there are some notable people throughout history who have purportedly done that. There's a woman, Jane something, who channeled this entity called Seth. There is very famously Abraham and formerly Jerry Hicks, or Esther and Jerry Hicks, now just Esther. Jerry passed away, but channeling not a single being, a self-identified as a collective consciousness called Abraham. Daryl Anka has a really cool story. His information really resonates with me. He speaks very humbly. And he will say himself that he doesn't know, he can't prove that this is true. He doesn't even know if it's true, but to trust the information. But the story that the entity that he channels called Bashar, and I won't go into all the details, but the way it happened to him is very cool. He talks about it in several interviews. But Bashar identifies himself as a single being, an individual, kind of like us as human beings, part of an ET race. And so Bashar, theoretically or purportedly, is a being existing in a spaceship, sort of being channeled into Daryl, because Bashar will say that their race, they're not as dense. You know, sometimes people refer to dimensions as densities. We're living in like the third density on Earth. And so we are very dense physical beings, but we're not only physical, we're spiritual, but we have a spiritual essence. But Bashar's race, they are much more advanced. They have evolved to the point where they are much less dense. They are in part spirit. They see beings walking around. That's sort of their natural reality. Part of Bashar's story is that they come from a planet very similar to ours in a parallel universe. That's the part, you know, it gets pretty out there. But if it hasn't been out there enough already, I believe he calls his planet Asani, but it has advanced much longer than ours. So artificial intelligence has developed. And in some ways, he says that their race has sort of merged with AI. And there's all these other pieces to it that has allowed their ships to teleport and things like that. But yeah, I'll just bring it back by saying, that is who Bashar is, part of this, purportedly, at least according to the story, part of this race of ET beings that is, and he is, I saw Daryl in person. Bashar is very funny. He's very funny in person when he comes through. And he says, and he is part of sort of the committee, which is funny to think about, that is part of the window of first contact. In making contact with human beings, because it appears that that is part of the evolutionary plan, of the divine plan, that sort of source, because they all refer to source too, has guided them to us, to support us, and they've been supporting us for a long time, actually, but more explicitly. So that is who Bashar is, and that is what I mean when I refer to an ET being.
Okay, thank you for explaining. That's sort of opened me up to some other thoughts about what we are.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So let me say something about that, because you asked a fairly poignant question, which is that according to this frame, which I'm very open to and makes it resonates with me, is that many of us are already what you may call hybrids, in the sense that, yes, as human beings, we do come from this planet. Earth is our home planet, and we did evolve. Part of us do evolve from animals, etc. But that's not all of what we are, in the sense that it's no coincidence, again, according to this frame, that the self-awareness aspect of our consciousness, considering that consciousness is the source material of all things, so all things have consciousness. It's just important to define that word, because many people have different definitions, but animals have consciousness, plants have consciousness, even a rock has consciousness in the sort of subatomic quality of it. But our unique branch of consciousness being self-awareness, we are the only, as far as we know, self-aware, sentient beings on this planet. It wasn't an accident that just sort of sparked from monkeys or whatever. Like some people will say it was plant medicines that supported that awakening. But others, including Bashar, will say that ET beings came to our planet to support our evolution and procreated with us to support our expansion, and actually brought substances like, you know, for example, psilocybin mushrooms is not necessarily native to Earth. Anyway, all to support the awakening of our planet. And we, human beings, were selected to expand and awaken in this way. So it's not really an accident that we are the only sentient creatures on this planet. Some cool. may be more hybrid than others. There are also sort of collectives of, let's call it energetic or extraterrestrial ancestry. Some people refer to the Arcturians and the Pleiadians and et cetera, et cetera. And so we may come from different sort of strains, or we may have different ancestry than just our human ancestry. So I'll say that bit.
Huh. This has kind of blown my mind. I mean, it kind of helps me define some of these other spaces that I've been seeing. I told you that these places that I've been seeing that they almost look like movie sets. And this sort of would explain what I'm seeing and feeling is that maybe some of the story is programmed. And maybe these ET beings are the ones that are really trying to work with us. I mean, it's not like it sounds like anybody's coming to hurt us. Not from what I've seen. It sounds like they are supporting an awakening. And I think
100%
really beautiful. That's what I think.
My information is that they are all here to collectively, because that it's not just a human family. It's not just a planetary family. It's a universal family.
Yeah.
They are being guided here as ascended beings with higher frequencies than us to support our awakening, to work with us.
I think that is happening. I think they are supporting our awakening. And I think they're trying to help us live. I don't know about, well, yes, I think they're trying to help us live in our human bodies and how to help us
raise our frequency,
and kind of stay here and figure out how do we heal our bodies? How do we, because I think, yes, I think these ET beings or whatever they are, I think they know, and I think they can help us.
So one, I'll share a couple interesting things about that. Yes, part of their mission is reminding us to support our planet. Bashar mm-hmm. has actually said yeah, that 100%. That they advanced to the point where they live in their spaceships. I think that almost sounds like an off-putting idea, but I think their spaceships are probably really fucking big and nice. And but that the reason is, and they live almost like moons off of their planet to restore the natural harmony and balance of their planet, because they went through a similar process as human beings, which is sort of basically coming close to destroying the planet and purging it of its resources and all kinds of things that were not living in harmony. And they learned at some point there's other parts to that story, but I think they are coming. Yeah. They have come to support us, to remind us to not experience that same fate of getting to the point of potentially actually destroying our planet or in that sense. And I'll say one other part about living to learn in bodies, which is that they carry very high frequency, to the point where I have heard many stories, not just from Bashar and others, but from human beings who tell, you know, that I think at some point we will learn that the military 100% has been involved in some of these encounters, and it's secret intelligence, et cetera. Not to get into sort of conspiratorial stuff, because sure. I'm just not available for fear. So I think it's a thin line, because some people, when they start to get into some of these theories, it becomes a lot about mind control and the government is keeping things from us and blah, blah, blah. Some of that may be true, but again, there's a light way of seeing it and a shadow way. I'm not available for some shadowy kind of, totalitarian government thing that's like, you know, using military to do whatever to harm us. I do sense that they just have had encounters that have not been made public, likely for the health of the public, because what the hell would people do with that kind of information? But what I will say, referencing that, is that all the stories are the same in that when those encounters have happened, people have shared that they were driven into severe panic in their nervous system. And so it's why a lot of people have fear-based stories about encounters and why the encounters are framed negatively. Now, what I have heard is that these beings, they carry such a high frequency that it actually just their presence overloads our system. Our nervous system goes haywire. Our brains, all the fear and survival programming activates because it's such a high frequency. So what they're doing is through channeling, through those receiving messages like you and I and Daryl, you know, it's their way of being able to deliver a supportive message without their physical presence because it's too overwhelming for us. And so their part of their mission is supporting us in awakening ourselves and raising our frequency high enough to where we can make first contact.
Yeah. And I think that's happening. And I think there's an awakening. I mean, I don't know if it's exactly that, but I feel it. I feel that. I feel the awakening. I feel it happening. And I agree, it's going to be soon. And there are souls or beings that are supporting us. And I think we should be excited about that and be happy.
100%. Yeah, we can be excited. We can be, feel grateful that that there are support systems that exist outside our own minds and brains.
Yeah. I think we're going to start seeing not that there's not already magic, but more magic, more miracles, more like amazing things that we never would have imagined.
Yes.
And I think we all just need to be excited because I think good things are coming our way.
I think we all can stay open to the invitation that in any moment we can reframe toward excitement. We can reframe toward, I am so excited to see how it all unfolds. So excited for the collective shifts of the planet, all the miracles. And again, it's not, because I know this is a large criticism of the spiritual community. It's not digging your head in the sand. You can read the news if you want. You can stay abreast of politics if you want. You can stay present to the suffering, the plentiful suffering on this planet, but you can do it from a higher perspective that on some level, all is well, and we are moving toward the light. And I know that that's very triggering for people because it's like, what do you mean? All is not well. But you just speaking that into existence and getting irate about it isn't actually helping anyone. You can, if it's aligned for you to take action, but you can do it from a higher perspective. You actually can. And it seems so antithetical and like impossible for people to actually serve and come face to face with the suffering of the planet from a higher perspective. So much of humanity, because we're so connected, because we're so telepathic, because we're so empathic, is that in order to serve suffering, I must suffer. And to start to rewire that and hold a higher perspective and still confront and be of service in your way is, I think, the magic of living in that excitement energy.
Yes, being positive. I mean, I feel like that's...
It's so simple. It's kindergarten, but it's fucking true. It's fucking true.
Be positive and really focus on the good. And I was having some conversations this week with some people who were really, I could feel how much they were hurting inside. And, you know, and everything that they were saying was, you know, very negative. And, you know, you've got to work from the inside out, right? And just like how we started the conversation today, just start, you know, speaking to yourself with words that are going to, you know, lift you up. Tell yourself you're beautiful. Tell yourself, you know, that you're wonderful, that you're loved, you know, and then start using those words. And yeah, then we all, you know, lift each other up. It all starts from within.
And I'll speak to this a little bit in the sense that I know that people, there's huge movements around what people call toxic positivity or, you know, just talking about affirmations when they don't believe it or, mm-hmm. you know, and I'll say that you don't have to force yourself into things that don't feel true to you. So if you stand in the mirror and when you say you are beautiful, you are loved, if it makes you feel like shit, if it's not working for you, you don't have to do it that way. But start with where you're at. Recognize Absolutely. How you are punishing yourself. And people, you know, people confuse this with like being sympathetic, or like, oh, well, but if you're too positive, you know, like I think I was reading this in a news article about like this woman who, you know, likes to make TV shows that are more quote unquote real. And then let me say, like, I don't like shows that are too campy or corny, or like that show Ted Lasso. Like that show kind of made me barf, to be perfectly honest. Like
I haven't seen it.
It makes me cringe. So like, I get it when people talk about
people that love it.
Yeah. And great. If it lifts them up, that's great. It was not for me. So you can find your flavor. Mm-hmm. But being positive, it doesn't have to look one way. It doesn't have to be some campy fucking TV show with you know, whatever kind of music and all these situations that work out all the time. It can just be recognizing the way you speak to yourself and noticing if there's some room for improvement there. Because the one criticism people will say is, well, not everyone's life is so, you know, rainbows and unicorns. No one's fucking life is rainbows and unicorns. It's just recognizing that you have a lot more power within you than you realize. And so if a TV show triggers you, like sometimes it triggers me, you don't have to then go on the internet and bash it and say, this is terrible because it makes people feel bad. Lots of things trigger people. Nothing is making them feel bad. People's feelings are their own. It's an opportunity to go within and say, why is that triggering me? What is it about me that doesn't feel good? And doesn't feel good enough, whatever. It doesn't mean you have to force yourself to watch Ted Lasso. I certainly don't. But it's just an invitation to learn about your nature, the conditioning of your mind. You know, there's a reason why different things work for different people's minds. And there's infinite possibilities. So positivity does not have to look like,
Well, I was going to an extreme, right? I was going to an extreme saying, you know, you tell yourself you're beautiful, you're this, but it's not always just jumping to that. It's work, right? It's just more removing this part that says, you know, you're gross, you don't look good today. You know, it's starting.
Yeah, it can simply be about saying, no, thank you, I'm not available for that. Yeah, and I'll give an example. In the pain community, because in the pain community, you know, this was my experience as well. When it's debilitating, you know, your mind goes to the worst places. Your mind goes to hopelessness and despair. When there's a flare up, your mind goes to, oh, this is never going to get better. I'm never going to be able to have a family. Never, you know, so it's recognizing that and starting to detach the experience of the symptoms from the reaction in the emotions and beliefs. And if you can start to recognize that I can have the flare up and not be available for all the despairing and fear-based projections, because those aren't true. That's not happening. Your experience is the sensations, but it actually can get a lot better, and it has for me. So it's recognizing your own stories that get elicited and noticing if there's a little room for improvement there or just a little bit more neutrality there.
Yeah, I see that. Personally, for me, it's about starting to sort of rewire, right? And like rewire our brains, like how we speak to ourselves. And it's a process, and it doesn't happen quickly.
No, and this is a science. Some people refer to it as neurolinguistic processing, as the rewiring of the brain through language and things. And so that's just a comment for people out there who may be saying, doesn't work for me. And because let me tell you, I was one of those people. I was very cynical, and I was very, had a big ego about psychology. And I was like, that doesn't work. It's more about going to the depths of darkness and swimming in the darkness. And you know, when I was very psychoanalytically minded. And yes, we confront our shadows too. But trust me, you do not need to go digging for the shadows. Go toward the light and they will show up. They will show up because those are the lessons you're meant to learn and grow through to get toward the light.
Yes. Look up, go towards the light.
Yeah. Look up, and whatever is meant to come up from below will do so, and you'll work with it. But you can do it from a place of greater neutrality or love or beauty or whatever works for you.
Yeah. Well, I think that is a perfect place to end with this idea of looking up and looking towards the light. And
yeah, it's like the opposite of that movie, Don't Look Up, that was had Leo in it and all these other people. And it was about like, do you know that movie?
No.
It was this satire. I actually, frankly, thought it was a terrible movie, but the premise was really
okay.
No. I thought it was like terrible acting, and whoever the guy who made it, I don't like his movies. But anyway, but the premise was hold on. The premise was good, which is that it was a satire on people putting their heads in the sand about climate change. And like there was like this, so there's this asteroid about to hit the planet. And rather than people doing something about it, you know, it got really political and people were like, don't look up. The message was like, don't acknowledge that we're literally all about to be obliterated by an asteroid. So this is my way of saying it's the opposite. I don't know. It just made me think of that movie. It's the opposite of that movie. It's saying, look,
that's not up. My message.
Okay. That's not Jen's message. That's
not my
just
message at all.
My association too. It's the opposite of that. And it's look okay. up. Okay.
Okay.
Well, on that note, or on a previous note, if you prefer, we will wrap up this lively conversation that got really deep into the weeds on ET beings and some other things. Hopefully some of it resonated with you. If it didn't, leave it and watch Ted Lasso or whatever you're into. I don't care. and we will meet again soon. Thanks for tuning in. If you would like to connect, please follow the podcast on Instagram at @DavidBowies_ghost, or follow us individually at @JenKesslerArt and at @Dr. Daniel_Atkins.
David Bowie's ghost looks forward to visiting with you again.